Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. On July 4th, we celebrate America's freedom. There are 13 stripes in Old Glory, representing the original colonies that sought independence. There are other images on coins and on the Great Seal, 13 stars over the eagle that carries 13 arrows, etc. As Christians, we can celebrate freedom that Christ has afforded us. Today, I wish to share 13 freedoms. First, freedoms between me and God. We are free from sin. Romans 6 says, "Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For the one who has died is free from sin." John says, "I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We should not habitually sin, but if we do, that is covered. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We are free from the law. Again in Romans 6, "For sin shall not be master over you, because you are not under the law, but under grace." There is no sadder life than that of the Christian bound by legalism. We are saved by grace. We are free from death. Back to Romans 6. "But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8 says, "The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." We are free from judgment. In John 5, Jesus claimed authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. And those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned." If your name is not found in the book of life, you will be subject to the great white throne judgment. But if your name is found in the book of life, you will not suffer that judgment. Next, things between me and others. We are free from shame. In colonial America, people were sometimes put into stocks for public shaming. We are much more civilized today. We use social media or talk shows to express our disapproval of others. For instance, fat shaming has become a common expression in our culture. We put people into figurative stocks. When the pandemic broke out, people were often publicly shamed for not wearing masks or not getting vaccinated. Often, people shame others to draw attention away from their own shortcomings. Remember the Pharisee that said, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, crooks, adulterers, or even like this tax collector here." He was shaming and virtue signaling at the same time. The Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus who was caught in the act of adultery. And after placing her in the center of the courtyard, they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. "What then do you say?" Now they were saying this to test him, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. And when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin, cast the first stone." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now when they heard this, they began leaving, one by one, beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone with the woman where she was, in the center of the courtyard. And straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Does no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." You know, I've often wondered what Jesus wrote on the ground that day. We are free from the past. When Paul was first converted, the disciples were afraid of him because of his reputation. In Philippians, he gives some personal history. "Circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul refused to let his reputation, good or bad, define him. He kept moving forward. We are free from bitterness. Ephesians 4 says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, crying, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." You see, the secret to getting rid of bitterness is absolute unconditional forgiveness. The same kind of forgiveness that God gives you and I. We are free from family patterns. Ezekiel 18 is an amazing chapter. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'What do you people mean by using this proverb about the land of Israel, saying, the fathers eat sour grapes, but it is the children's teeth that have become blunt? As I live, declares the Lord God, you certainly are not going to use this proverb in Israel any more. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father, as well as the soul of the son, is mine. The soul who sins will die.'" And then he goes on to explain, "If a man is righteous and keeps my commands, he will live. But if that man has a son who commits abominations, he will die. And if that son has his own son, who does not commit abominations but keeps my commands, he will live." And he concludes, "A son will not suffer the punishment for the father's guilt, nor will the father suffer the punishment for the son's guilt. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself." You are not a slave to family patterns. We are free from the world. Colossians 2 says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, in accordance with human tradition, in accordance with the elementary principles of this world, rather than in accordance with Christ." Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." We are citizens of his kingdom. We are not subjects of this world. And then there are things between me and myself. We are free from guilt. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us approach God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." Some of us have been conditioned to be victims of guilt. Do not let guilt rule your life. Be set free from guilt. we are free from fear. Romans 8 says, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Let the Father's perfect love cast out fear from your life." We are to be free from anger. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." And Colossians 3 says, "But now you also rid yourselves of anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene speech." We are free from the shackles of those attitudes. When Cain became angry, his face was downcast. And the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry, and why is your face downcast? If you do well, will your face not be cheerful? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it." Cain had a choice. You and I have a choice. Either master your anger, or let it be your master. We are free from sorrow. Jesus began his public ministry by reading from Isaiah 61, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance from our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. Let him set you free from your emotional pain." You have been set free from sin, free from the law, free from death, free from judgment, free from shame, free from the past, free from bitterness, free from family patterns, free from the world, free from guilt, free from fear, free from anger, and free from sorrow. Galatians says, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." After the people of Israel were released from bondage in Egypt, they began to pine for their former life as slaves. I urge you to cherish your freedom and walk in it. As you celebrate Independence Day, watching fireworks or at a picnic or at the beach or in your own backyard, don't forget to celebrate your freedom in Christ. This is Jim Barrier on Since You Ask, wishing you a happy 4th of July.
Since You Ask is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.